Last time on Jonathan Park and the recesses of the deep.
Ah, back under the silence of the sea.
Hello, Kirk?
Hey, Dad. All I know is we're headed out to discover more sea life around a wreck in the North Sea.
There's gotta be something more to it, Kirk.
We're also testing out special dive suits.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere.
Miles, I want more info on that.
And have it you will.
Do the rest of you ever get that sleight-of-hand feeling about Alexander himself?
Yes, I do.
What's going on now?
Sir, it's a breach in the hull of the ship.
Katie, we're in serious trouble. In just a few minutes, this room's going to be filled to the top.
We've got to let them know that we're in here.
Help! Help! Anyone? Hello?
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the Recesses of the Deep.
Okay, here's the storeroom. We need to hurry.
Jonathan? Kendall?
You called for us?
Breach in the galley. Jesse and Katie are trapped. Jonathan, use your watch so we can communicate.
That air shaft up there. It runs next door into the galley. Kendall, he's the only one that fits.
Dad?
Your daughter and Jesse are going to drown. Kendall, it's the only way.
Okay.
Jonathan, you crawl into the pantry. Then we'll open the retaining hatch between you and the galley.
The water will rush in and we'll flood both compartments. Make sure to get Katie and Jesse into the pantry.
Then we'll seal the hatch between the two rooms again. In the pantry, there's a lever like this one. Pull it down to initiate the pump.
Once the water level's low enough, bring Jesse and Katie back through the air duct. Jonathan, do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Everyone, lift him up to the air shaft.
Okay, I'm making my way across the shaft.
Your radio's working. When you get to the end, you have to kick out the grill.
I'm kicking at the grill, but... Got it! Okay. I'm in the pantry.
Grab onto something solid. We'll open the watertight hatch.
Okay, I'm ready. Yes!
We don't have much longer till this room floods too!
Okay, I have Jesse and Katie in the pantry with me.
Understood. Mr. Bowditch, close the watertight hatch between the kitchen and pantry.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jonathan, pull the lever to activate the pump.
Yes, I've got it right here. Jesse, help me get Katie into the air duct up there.
You've got it!
Little brother, you saved our lives!
We need to thank the Lord.
Okay, Captain. With the kitchen sealed off from the rest of the ship, we've effectively neutralized the breach for now. We plan to make temporary repairs.
Creation Response Team, I know we've been through a lot in the last couple of hours, but shortly we'll be arriving at the wreck site. It's time to accomplish what we came for. I want all who will be diving to meet me in the staging area. Angela, Kendall, I want you to start with a short dive to familiarize yourselves with our new technology.
Hello, Creation Response Team. Thad Sherman speaking.
Hello, Thad. My name's Tana Johnson, and I'm with the Morningstar Christian TV Network. We'd love to do a story on your team. Are there any creatures you think would have a creation message?
The crew of the Manta found a leafy sea dragon along the south coast of Australia before the CRT got involved.
What's it look like?
Well, it's similar to a seahorse, but it's a master of disguise. It sort of looks like a piece of floating seaweed.
Wow, really?
God designed it that way, with leafy skin and a body shape that mimics the plant.
Does it move?
Well, yes. It has pectoral fins that come off its neck. They're transparent and hard to see, so it doesn't ruin its seaweed-like appearance. Secondly, the fins propel in such a way that it looks like a plant floating along through the water.
So, what do evolutionists say about this?
When it comes to camouflage, the evolutionists would have to say that random mutations, or mistakes, would be able to create such a perfect impersonator in the first place. Then, they would say natural selection would allow the mimic to survive, because it wouldn't be seen as well by the predators.
And what about the creationist viewpoint?
To me, it's much more credible to say that camouflage, in all animals, is a result of God's great handiwork.
Evolutionists glory in a process, while creationists give honor to God.
Psalm 104, verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches.
Incredible. Okay, we'd like to do a story on the leafy sea dragon and the other creatures your team's been finding.
Kendall and Angela, welcome back to the Manta's staging area.
Yes, sir.
So you've completed your first test dive using our new ex-Nihilo suits.
Alexander, I wouldn't have thought it was possible to be so warm in these cold waters.
Or to be free from the effects of high pressure at this depth. How do you do it?
They look more like spacesuits.
As I explained, Jonathan and Kirk, I want you to start suiting up. Angela, this depth could be a real problem for traditional scuba equipment, but not so for an ADS. True?
What's an ADS, Mom?
An atmospheric diving suit. It's like a metal suit of armor. Well, think of those old-fashioned divers, with those ensembles that made them look like robots from a bad sci-fi movie.
They still have those?
Yes, and while they've modernized them, they're still like metal containers that surround the diver. However, they can reach depths of a couple thousand feet. But Alexander, what's that got to do with these suits?
Looks deceive, Angela. These suits are a brand new cross between traditional dry suits and ADS. They incorporate a new technology by ex-Nihilo that is somewhat similar to D3O. Jonathan, this goes over here and attaches there.
Oh, thank you.
What's D3O?
Well, it's an amazing material developed by a British laboratory. It remains soft and flexible until struck, then becomes hard.
My scientists have learned how to make a similar material that's energized through electrical current. The entire suit's lined with this substance. Sensors monitor the outside pressure and increase the hardness of the suit as our depth increases, creating a self-adjustable ADS with flexible joints.
Allowing us to travel to great depths.
And these helmets look like an astronaut.
All designed to regulate pressure, maintain temperature, and provide air for breathing. Angela, you, of course, are a trained underwater archaeologist, and from what I understand, Kendall, Jonathan, and Kirk, you were all experienced divers.
My dad let me train with the first response team when he was in charge.
So how do we get out of the sub?
You'll step through this door into this airlock and sit on the bench. The pressure of the room will slowly increase as seawater fills the chamber. Then the floor will open, and we'll simply head out into the sea.
I think we're ready.
With the Lord's blessing, let's document some amazing creatures for His glory, as Psalm 111:2 says, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein."
Alexander, we're at 290 feet. These suits are amazing.
Look at all the life around us. The Palatia should be directly below.
Mom, what can you tell us about the Palatia?
It was a passenger and cargo steamship. In October of 1942, during World War II, she was struck by a torpedo.
And I think it sunk. To right there. Look.
Let us sight. Let's get closer.
Shine your lights this way. Wow, what a confusion of mangled metal. Alexander, you said this was declared a war grave?
Yes, a friend in high places granted us access, or we would have never gotten to be here. So let's be respectful while we're there.
Let's snap some pictures.
Wow, Mr. DeMarcus, you were right. Look at all the fish teeming around the wreck.
Yes, man's great nautical achievements above often succumb to the sea, only to serve as a preserve for those who live here below.
Wow, I think that twisted structure used to be the smokestack.
Look over there, past the schools of whiting fish. I believe it's a banded piglet squid.
I think you're right. Let's get closer.
Look at his face.
Oh, wow. It looks like Piglet from Winnie the Pooh.
This guy's a squid?
It sure is. Squids have 8 arms and 2 tentacles. On the Piglet squid, his arms are actually positioned above its eyes, which makes it look like cartoon hair, doesn't it?
His body looks like an avocado.
They propel themselves by using their funnel, a cavity inside their body. They suck water in the front and shoot it out the back like a water jet.
I think I'll see if I can get close enough to capture it with this slip gun.
Another interesting fact about cephalopods in general, the class that squids belong to, is their ability to release a cloud of ink that obscures their predator's vision so they can escape.
Mr. DeMarcus,
Marcus, every time you get close with that slurp gun, he moves away from you.
This one's too smart for me.
Listen to this. Some cephalopods can also release a cloud of ink in their own shape to confuse the predator.
No way! How?
They release their ink with a thicker mix. Now, it shoots out the back of the cephalopod's tunnel, which leaves behind the blob about the shape and size of the animal itself.
You mean it creates a decoy?
Exactly. And that's known as ink pseudomorph. Pseudomorph means false form, or decoy might be another word.
That's a brilliant defense.
I guess we need to just let this one go. Okay, let's head closer to the wreck.
Kirk! Where's Kirk?
He was just here with us.
Kirk, do you hear us?
Oh, no. We seem to have lost visual and radio contact with him.
Kirk! Kirk, where are you?
Jonathan?
Kirk, you're breaking up badly.
I think it's all the metal. It's interfering with our communications.
Where are you?
Below, past the wreck.
See me? Oh, there you are. Mom, Dad, I found Kirk. Nothing. Kirk, what are you doing so far away from the team and so close to the wreck?
I know you're not going to believe me, but I saw some sort of weird creature watching us down here. It looked like an angel, flapping its wings with a flowing rope trailing behind it.
Kirk, I don't know what you saw, but we need to get back there with the others.
It went into the cargo area. I need to get a picture. I'm going in.
But Kirk, we've only got 10 more minutes. All right, I'll stick with you. But only for a couple of minutes, and then we're heading back. This cargo area is creepy.
Oh. Jonathan, look! Bones and skulls!
Ugh, let's get out of here.
Wow, look! An old telegraph. And a rusty old knife on the deck over there.
Let's turn back.
There, look!
Wow, what is that?
It disappeared. Around that hatch.
Kirk, you aren't kidding. If I didn't believe in ghosts, that would make me wonder. It was transparent and seemed to glow in our lights.
It was watching us. Come on, let's follow it.
Wait!
This is a narrow corridor, but it opens up right through here.
Watch out for those cables!
Where's the creature? Oh, no. The cables look through on my tank.
Stop moving. Our air is going to get low. Especially with you spending so much.
I'm tangled up.
Calm down.
Our time's running out.
Kirk, I'm sorry, but I can't untangle you.
Jonathan? Kirk? Oh, please come in.
Mom, can you hear us?
Where are you?
We're down through the cargo bay, through a corridor, and then into a large compartment.
We're on our way.
Jonathan, look. That angel! It's like it's looking after us!
There they are!
Kirk's all tangled up in these cables!
Look at him out!
They're too thick. It'll take too long. And look at his air gauge. We've only got 5 more minutes to get him back to the manta.
Kirk, help me.
What are you doing?
Kirk, we've got to leave your tanks.
What? How will I breathe?
Trust me, Kirk. I'm going to disconnect your air and snap your hose into my auxiliary bayonet fitting.
But you might not have enough air.
Look at your dive computer. We're out of time. Is there any better answer?
No.
Okay, Kirk, you're free. We'll share air as I lead you out of here. Okay, everyone, let's go.
Would you like to sit here, looking over the ocean?
Sure, why not? Actually, just get me a Reuben sandwich.
Anything to drink?
Hey, Dad, watch me take his way.
Sir, Jimmy. Something to drink?
Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Jimmy! He was just here a minute ago.
He's caught in a riptide.
No!
I'm coming. Hang on, son. We'll try to fight it.
No!
Just keep swimming parallel to the shore.
I don't see him.
Hi, pulling to the right. Get the lifeguard. I'm going in after him.
Lifeguard! Lifeguard, help!
Help!
Listen to me. Stop flailing, son. one parallel to the shore.
I'm trying to come to you.
Kirk! Kirk, just relax. I'll come to you.
Help!
I'm almost there. Gotcha.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. So there's your dad, over there. And the lifeguard's coming. Hang on to your boogie board. We're just going to keep swimming until we meet up with them.
You came at just the right time.
Same thing happened to my son once. One minute he was there, next minute he was gone. And then when I was just about to give up, I saw a flash of his red baseball cap. It took us a long time to get back to shore.
Was his name Kirk?
Yeah. How did you know?
You were calling me that.
Yeah, I guess I was. I think you can stand up now.
Sounds like he was lucky to have him for a father.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Here comes the lifeguard.
Jimmy!
And your dad's right with me.
Thank you for saving my son.
I mentioned it. Saving lives used to be my job. Well, I think my sandwich is probably ready.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you!
Goodbye now.
Well, that was an exciting little adventure.
Kendall, I am so glad that you and Kirk are okay.
Me too.
And now might be the time to say congratulations.
For what?
Kirk and Jonathan proved that amateur divers can dive at depths once only attained by diving professionals.
And you risked my family to do it? Alexander, why do I have this feeling that it was more about the ex-Nihilo than finding creatures at a shipwreck 4,000 miles away from the base?
Haven't I yet proven myself trustworthy? Haven't we demonstrated to the world the amazing creatures made by our God? And it's even my intention to allow you to return to the Palatia and to collect the creature Kirk saw as a way to end our mission on a strong note.
Well, you have provided a wonderful platform to spread the creation message, and for that we're thankful.
Well, there you have it, Dr. Park. For now, I need to get up to the bridge and see the status of our repairs to the breach.
Oh, okay. We'll see you in a couple of hours.
Dr. Park, can I talk to you alone?
Sure, Kirk. Okay. We'll catch up with you guys in a few minutes.
Okay, that sounds good.
See you later. Thank you for saving my life down there.
Of course, Kirk. We all watch out for each other.
I'm not quite sure how to say this.
Yes?
It's just my dad hasn't been there for me for a while, so when you risk your own life, I mean, I guess in some way I felt a father's love.
Well, Kirk, your dad has done some horrible things for which he's going to be held accountable. But in the end, I believe he would have done the same thing today.
I'm not so sure.
Now, why would you say such a thing?
Because he almost killed me when we were at Loki's castle.
Kirk, what are you talking about?
You know when we were going down to remove the black smoker and the pilot fish malfunctioned?
Yes.
I was in the middle of changing around some of the control wires, but then my conscience got to me and I put them back.
Why would you ever touch the mini-sub's control wires?
My dad told me to do it.
Kirk, you were in touch with your dad? Do you know how to get a hold of him?
I did, but now he's switched to a restricted phone, and I don't know where he is.
Next time you have contact with him, I want to know about it so we can tell the authorities.
Yes, sir.
When you tinkered with the pilot fish, you put all our lives in danger, including yours.
I'm sorry. I guess I was just trying to please my dad.
Each of us has to be responsible for our own actions, and there'll be consequences for your mistake. I want you to confess and apologize to Mr. DeMarcus. And then we'll inform your mother so she can consider what additional discipline you may deserve. I must say, you've just lost a huge amount of our trust.
Oh, Dr. Park, I'm sorry. I want to gain it back.
Kirk, more importantly, you need to be right with the Lord. Deception and lying reveal where your heart is. If you're truly sorry, remember what the Apostle John teaches us in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
My dad always told me the story about how he lost your trust. I never understood why.
We were always grateful for his training, but then we started to part ways.
Because of your faith.
The first part of Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth." As you know, that's the whole point of our mission. And he wanted to keep us from that purpose. I wish we could have parted as friends. We pray for your dad just about every day and hope that the Lord will be pleased to open his eyes and grant him understanding. Part of showing our care for him has been to watch over you and your mom.
Me?
Our hope was to model a biblical family, can to show you love. We hope that you feel like you're part of our family.
Family?
Yes. Okay, you're confined to your cabin until we can figure out the next step. Understood?
Yes, sir.
So why'd you call us all together?
With all the action of the flooding, and then your dive to the Palacia, we haven't had time to show you this. Jesse, come on!
We found it in a closet in the kitchen just before the breach.
Another type of high-tech dive suit?
No! Look at the patch right here. It's a NASA space suit!
What? Why would Mr. DeMarcus have that on a submarine?
And how did he get his hands on it? Aren't these worth several $1 million?
Kendall, I heard you two had a little friction down in the staging area.
Well, yes.
But he's done so much for us.
I agree, he has, and for that we're grateful. But let's be discreet and heed Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Let's keep our eyes open and communicate.
Excellent advice, Jim. And I believe that's my suit.
Alexander!
Again, I ask simply that you trust me. All will make sense in the end. For now, I say we head back to the Palacia to see if we can capture that mystifying creature.
Okay, Jonathan. Was this where you and Kirk were when you saw the creature?
I think so. There are those dangling cables. Don't forget Kirk's gear on our way out.
Thank you. It's hard maneuvering through this small space with a slurp gun like this.
Dad, there it is! Wow! It's a sea angel!
Wow, what a grand finale that would be to our Census of Marine Life project.
Oh, it's so beautiful! The head, wings, and its flowing, transparent body glows in our light. It really looks like a little angel.
Especially as it flies. And believe it or not, it comes from the group of sea slugs. Did you know it uses one set of muscles for normal swimming and a completely different one when it needs a burst of speed?
That's great creation!
One type of sea angel, the Cleone antarctica, produces a chemical known as pteroinone, which makes the sea angel taste horrible to its predators.
A neat defense mechanism!
That's not all. There's certain amphipods, shrimp-like creatures, that live in McMurdo Sound in Antarctica that seem to recognize the benefit of tasting bad. They capture the sea angels and attach them to their backs. And as long as they have these angels with them, they avoid being eaten. Again, it points to a plan thought out long ago by the creator.
Dad, should we try to capture him ourselves before he disappears again?
Right.
Oh, you did it, Dad!
We got him!
We have a real live sea angel for our collection. What a great end to this project!
All right, let's get back to the Manta.
Welcome to another live-action report from inside Ex Nihilo headquarters. We're here to witness the completion of Manta's participation in the Census of Marine Life. You can see behind me a large screen in which we'll join the crew of the Manta. Hello, crew of the Manta, can you hear us?
Hello, this is Alexander DeMarcus, captain of the Manta. On behalf of Ex Nihilo and the Creation Response Team, we'd like to show you some of what we've discovered.
Hello, I'm Jesse in the collection compartment of the Manta. Hopefully the camera's picking up the glass tanks behind me. They're filled with some amazing wonders of the sea.
Hi, I'm Katie. Well, right here, you'll see a Maris orificana, which is a deep-sea siphonophore that looks kind of like a string of oddly shaped glowing lights.
If we can focus the camera on this tank, you'll see a flamingo-tongued snail, red, yellow, and pink, with spots like a giraffe.
Jonathan Park here. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the sea in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast.
Much more to come, but this is the crew of the Manta and the CRT officially announcing the completion of our mission. Back to you at Ex Nihilo headquarters.
And we're off the air.
Whew, that was stressful.
No, that was successful.
And possibly just the beginning of the partnership for Ex Nihilo and the Creation Response Team.
We're always up for another adventure.
We sure are, Jonathan.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Recesses of the Deep. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Be sure to listen to the next album in the Voyage Beyond series as the Creation Response Team finds out about Alexander's true intentions in Jonathan Park and the Race for Space.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.